cities face increasing threats from major events such as extreme weather, technology shifts, and even geopolitical tensions. Focus has shifted to system resilience and how to maximize digitalization to ensure preparedness and agility. And this is all happening in the context of renewables expansion coupled with an aging grid. To unpack this in more detail, I'm joined by David Cashman and Lobna El-Gamel from EY, who will provide insights and case studies to demonstrate resilience strategies. I'm Pamela Larg. Welcome to the Energy Transitions Podcast. Lobna, David, resilience seems to be a really hot topic at the moment. Why is everybody talking about resilience now?
Yeah, Pamela, thank you. So we first need to recognize that resilience has always been part of what a utility does, part of its core business in terms of how it plans and operates the electricity network. But what we're seeing now is those macro trends that you mentioned at the top around, you know, generation change to renewables, demand growth, and increasing events that are more severe and more frequent are now really increasing the complexity that utilities have to operate in. And just this morning, I was in a session hosted by Eurelectric on the Grids for Speed study, which EY supported, and it really highlighted the critical nature that the electricity network has in our economy and our wider society and how that's going to grow into the future. So as we plan to modernise our grids into the future, we really have to build resilience into that thinking.
Lobna?
Yeah, so fully agreed, obviously, and thank you for having us. Fully agreed with my colleague, David. So I think resilience, we're hearing it a lot, mostly because these major events and stressors are increasing, both in their frequency and in their complexity. So these can span from technical failures, from asset failures, cybersecurity attacks and vulnerabilities, and obviously closest to the consumer because they feel the impact of this climate events. So utilities have always looked at resilience, but now they're facing frequent stressor events, major events that they are sure will happen and will be complex, adding on to all of that, the general complexity we're seeing in the industry. So resilience is really about being able to resort back to your business as usual, to bounce back from a stressor event. So what does that mean looking at our electricity grid and our energy system? Well, that's really three things, right? That's starting with being able to withstand an event, right? And the second is being able to minimize the impact of that disruption. And the third is being able to recover, right? And to restore as a result of that. So it's always been a part of utilities, agenda focus, but it's now being shaped around these major events that really, it's not about if they happen, it's about when they will happen.
Lobna, you did touch on some of these specific types of major events. What are the main risks or the main perceived risks in this landscape?
Yeah, so I think the main perceived risks are really some of the failures that maybe could come about from that, from assets, from technical infrastructure, and needing to keep the lights on, right? So utilities have always had that focus. And so now the planning around resilience has maybe reshaped itself to be centered on these major events. So the risk is not being able necessarily to recover, not being able to withstand. And utilities know that that's not an option, right? So we've always looked at how do you increase that resilience, right? How do you enhance it in the face of all of these changes? And that's never going to end, right? Resilience isn't going to, so it's a topic, obviously, in today's or this year's Endlit Europe, right? Let's say next year's is something different. That doesn't mean resilience has gone anywhere, right? It will always be on the top of the minds of our utilities, but it's more how do you adapt it in response to the frequency of the events we're seeing, the complexities of it.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I think when you look at what a utility does, as Lobna says, the core business remit is to keep the lights on. So you think of the electrical network at a transmission level, a distribution level, but you also have to think of the IT and operational technology systems that operate behind that. And resilience encompasses all that, I think, for a utility. If we look at the events, I mean, you touched on it there, and Lobna's touched on it, the climate events, right? We've seen climate events just this year. You can think of major wildfires in the US and Europe. You can think of major storm events as well across Europe that have had disruption. We can see geopolitical issues impacting supply chains and energy supply in general. As we digitize our lives and introduce more digital technologies into the energy system, that is increasing the opportunity for cyber criminals to introduce more cyber threats. So that has to be taken into account. And then as well, we have to think about the aging infrastructure that we have. So again, that Your Electric report highlighted that today 30% of the electrical network in Europe is over 40 years old. So the network is getting older, and we're going to have to be able to really adapt to that and be sort of proactive instead of reactive when we look at our assets and how we maintain them, so that we're prepared as best we can be for when major disruption events occur.
It's actually a great segue into my next question, which is specifically regarding the think tank report that you've been working on as well with Enlit. Do you think that the sector is perceiving these threats realistically? Are they getting to grips with what's happening in the landscape and the level of preparedness that they need to reach?
Yeah, so that's obviously why the think tank topic is there on resilience. So myself and my colleagues will be looking at frameworks towards enhancing resilience as a part of utilities business in response to these major events. And so I think the change we're seeing is a lot of the resilience initiatives have been tailored around responding to these major events throughout the life cycle. So one of the things we'll take a look at as a part of the think tank on Thursday is what kinds of frameworks exist. And some of the things that we're seeing are laying out a major event, thinking of, I'll present kind of five stages, right? So there's two stages ahead of a major event that a utility can really look into and think, how can I enhance my technology, my assets, my business processes to build resilience in at the plan stage. This is well ahead of a major event, honestly, not even tied to the necessary certainty that there will be a major event, right? So how can I set up my processes, my technologies to be able to be resilient? Then we have a prepare stage, right? So not all major events can be forecasted, but many can. So a lot of the climate events, for example, can be forecasted. And so in preparation for that, utilities, well, unfortunately, but have started to see what they need to know in the middle of a flooding scenario or in the middle of a storm. So they're starting to be able to increase situational awareness and to support active and more informed decision-making at the prepare stage. When you're in the middle of a major event, whether that be a wildfire scenario, whether that be a cyber attack, whether that be a technical or an asset failure, you're then looking at how do I as a business respond? How are my technologies, how is my infrastructure responding? How am I supporting processes that I've streamlined? And how am I really getting visibility to what is the impact on my grid? We then move to a restore phase, right? And so obviously you can think of field crew looking at getting the grid back to business and back to where it was and looking to eliminate really and if not possible to minimize the impact of that major event. And then we're looking at obviously how do you report back on this? How do you learn from this? How do you help this feed back into your planning for resilience? So always been there, but now a lot of the frameworks we're seeing utilities adopt are keeping that potential and really certainty of that major event front and center and saying, how can I look at the entire process and how can I use digital tools to facilitate an enhanced resilience?
I find it fascinating because I think when you think of a major event, it's always the thought of how do I react when that event occurs? But actually the forward planning and preparation, I think, sometimes I can't fathom what that must entail. It's really like looking ahead as much as possible for all eventualities.
That's a great point. What Lubna has identified there is planning and preparing are key before you have to react. Right. And what we see is really forward looking utilities looking to build in how new technologies can support them in that. So when we think of resiliency, a lot of people in the energy sector, we think of the hard wires and components in the energy system. However, there's a lot that digital technology can help in planning and preparing and then also in the react, responding in the field and then reporting, which is really important now. We're seeing increasing scrutiny from governments and regulators in how utilities are doing this. So being able to actually get all that information in a digestible way for stakeholders is going to be really important. So I think that stage is really important. If I take you back to the planning stage, right? One of the kind of key things that we're seeing from forward-looking utilities is to use something, you know, AI and data technologies to reimagine how they plan for their networks. And by doing that, by using AI, we're seeing a lot of potential to really look and really identify the vulnerabilities within the system, so you can really focus where your efforts should go in terms of reinforcing the network. So I think that's a really good example of how a new technology put to the right use can really support in that planning stage.
Absolutely. And I mean, that will focus investment, strategic thinking and planning. So it's less time wasted on what's really not necessary, basically.
Absolutely. And with AI now, there's the other aspect of it is the speed at which it can process. So now in an ever-increasing world, we can't just rely on one scenario where one thing might happen. We might have to factor in many different threats and different eventualities that might occur. So by being able to run so many different scenarios at your planning stage, you can really identify where those weak points are and what the stressor event that's going to trigger that weak point could be. And that really can focus the mind and focus the investment, as you say.
It's absolutely incredible. And the risk landscape is so complex at the moment, which is really great. You know, it's great we're having this conversation because so many different things can happen. Like you said, it's climate change, it's supply chain, geopolitical risks. So to be able to focus, I think, is so important. Are utilities aware of the tools that are available? Are they using them? Are they starting to tap into them?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of innovation in this space, again, triggered by the increasing complexity and frequency of these events. So utilities are always asking the question of how can I enhance the resilience? And now we're looking at how can I use these new digital tools to do so. So my colleague David gave an example at planning, right? So maybe I'll take a look at prepare, right? So we're now in a situation where we know there will be a major event. It's coming, you know, few days, few weeks, but we know that this is happening, right? So let's assume this is, for example, a climate event. So we're now seeing utilities use their data sets to be able to centralize and streamline some of the event response processes. And an example of that is we've seen some utilities build very event-specific dashboards, right, to be able to provide situational awareness in a control room, to be able to monitor and progress more closely a very specific event or a very specific risk and vulnerability. We're then seeing utilities be able, because they've now streamlined this data, centralized this data, built these unique dashboards, be able to support with intelligence to give you insights, right? So for example, in the middle of a wildfire, we have some utilities who've experimented with overlaying data on vegetation, on the threat, and on the progress of a wildfire in real time to support some of the workforce digitization or to support some of the control room operations. So in the prepare stage, what we're seeing is a lot of utilities make use of these digital technologies to really zoom in and say, okay, I'm in the middle of it now. What is the most important thing I need to see? What will help me make the right decision? Because these are very critical, very hard decisions to make, right? So again, technology really offers us an opportunity to increase that visibility and to better the response, which of course sets you up well for the later stages of reacting, responding, and reporting.
Absolutely. Saving time, money, lives. It's obviously very important. Incredible how these digital tools are working. David, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think, like, again, once we look into these tools, it's about building them into your wider architecture, right? So again, stepping back and saying, right, when I'm in the situation, what could really help? And one of the examples that we've seen in this regard is, for example, taking your AMI data from your smart meters, right? So that's right down at the end of a line where the impact is going to be, and identifying which customers are still connected using meter pings or using event data from the smart meters to really feed into the operational space. So you can feed that right up into the control room, but also then get that information back out to the field where there's boots on the ground. And what we've seen is really when you're responding to those events, that you need information, you need it quickly. So having the digital landscape to be able to get the information from a meter back to the control room and then back out to your field is really, really important so that you can really focus the guys on the ground, the guys and girls on the ground, to really focus their efforts on getting those customers back connected to the grid.
So how does a utility start this process of becoming digitally competent, whether it be in terms of skill sets or systems, to actually embrace this level of preparedness?
Yeah, so there's a few things, many of which already exist and just need, you know, us to constantly be adapting these, right? So the first hierarching comment we'll say is that looking at resilience as an end-to-end value that really needs to be incorporated across business operations at a utility. So that's something that exists, but also looking at, you know, how do these initiatives interact with one another, right? How do I ensure that the way I am restoring is not impacting my ability to prepare later for another storm, for example, right? Or for another major event. And I think one of the most important things is ensuring that the data required is there. It's available, it's centralized. Really a lot of these digital solutions we've spoken to are being offered by vendors, but to really maximize what vendors can offer, whether that be machine learning models that can better provide predictive health metrics, or whether that be drones, for example, that can help you determine in the restore phase where you would be more efficient in sending field crew. All of that, making use of all the vendors and what they can offer you, requires you to be able to streamline and process data within your organization. And so I think a lot of the no regrets work here is work around ensuring that your data is prepared, it is ready, it can be used. We've actually worked with utilities, for example, that are looking at building resilience dashboards or building service buses specifically for reliability data just to be used for that purpose. So I think that's something that is really important in terms of, you know, getting started and ensuring that the decisions around infrastructure and architecture will support that. Again, showing that this is all end-to-end, that you make that decision and plan, right? You can't decide that right ahead of a major event. That's something that's in the strategy, for example. So I would say taking a look at the end-to-end process, right? And then also focusing and making sure that the data you need is available all throughout that. The last part I would say is being able to streamline and to signpost some of the processes you'll need, right? So we know these major events, whether they be climate events or cyber events or technical or asset failures, they're coming, right? So how can I, as a utility, start to streamline some of that process, set up signposts to say, okay, I'm in, you know, a storm mode, for example. How can I lay out the teams, the roles and responsibilities? How can I lay out the strategies that we're going to implement at the prepare, react stages. So I think those are the ones I can think of from a technology perspective. I know, Dave, you probably have some additional thoughts.
Yeah, I think Lublin has touched off a couple of really, really important points. So obviously thinking end-to-end of the process from plan, prepare, react, recover, and report, really important to think of that end-to-end and where the digital technology can support. I think when you look across the floor today, the amount of times I've heard about data and connecting data and making data available, really important. When we think of these events and the data sets that are going to really support utilities to make the right decisions quickly, it's everything now from weather data to vegetation data, really taking lots of data sets that maybe wouldn't traditionally be used by a utility and making it useful is really important, right? So I think that, and then when introducing new technologies, we mentioned drone technology, which is again is something that's topical here in terms of using image technology and maybe overlaying AI. So using these new technologies, AI and things like drones, it's going to be really important, to start small, scale, and have a longer term view of the value that you're going to get out at the end of it. So really look for those quick wins, but scale it up with a view of knowing how you can make that end-to-end transformation, which ultimately is going to stand to you when you're in that scenario of facing into a major event.
A final question. We speak a lot about planning, digitalization, the use of data, but surely the people factor is important too, because we need to maybe have a mindset shift or a culture shift within utilities to really embrace these processes and ensure and maximize preparedness.
100%. And I'd maybe like to bring it back to maybe a point you made earlier on, which is at the end of the day, it's a customer or it's a business at the end of the line that is most affected. So we need to have a human lens on everything we do in this regard. And the people aspect, both within the utility and then engaging the people who are impacted in the public, is going to be really, really important to have that in the mindset. We do jump to digital quite a bit, and data, we've mentioned data, but there's also a culture around adopting digital, around, you know, management of data. So if I think about, you know, our assets in the field that utilities have, it's the collection of data and having, you know, boots on the ground that understand that it's really important to collect that data at source and then that it gets processed right the way up the chain. That's important. So that's a cultural piece around management of data. The other thing is, these are cross-functional teams that are going to have to work together when there is a major event like a storm. And that starts with, as I said, the customer team, working with the operational team in the control room, and working with the boots on the ground, the field technicians and engineers in the field that have to do the work. So they all have to work in tandem. And it's really important that you get those cross-functional collaborative teams working together. Similarly, when we talk about these new digital technologies, we need to bring the AI and data engineers together with those business people across the organization to really bring the value to this area, so that, as I said, it's in its best condition. And the technology can be leveraged in the best way in the moment. The last thing I'd like to say as well is about empowerment of people, really allowing them to have the right skills, the right training, really important. We're here in Spain today. Obviously, there was a major event not so long ago, right? But one thing that's often missed was the recovery, right? So 99% of demand was back online within 16 hours. That doesn't happen by chance. That happens because it's well planned and it's a well executed plan. So having the people with the right skills, the right tools, and the right preparedness for the event is really, really important. So it's not just all about technology, it's about the people as well.
Indeed. Lobna, David, thank you so much for sharing your insights on what is such a critical topic at the moment. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, Pamela.
For more insights, join the Enlit community.